Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
I'm Linda Palacio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, 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 welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. Today is Tuesday, June 2nd, 2015. It's a special show. We've got some friends from Greenport Harbor and Long Island talking about craft beer. Beer Sessions Radio is brought to you by Union Beer Distributors, supplier of world-class ales and lagers. If you have any questions for our guests today, you can tweet us at beer_sessions. We got live tweeters going on all day. So special in-studio guests today. We got John Leegee and Brian Russell and Sean McCain from Greenport Harbor back in the studio. We haven't seen you guys for a while. Welcome in. Nico Comedis has got a special like Long Island beer and event report, and a new buddy's in town, Ralph Perazzo from BBD Eats on Long Island. So we got a lot to talk about. You know what's been going on in the world of craft beer?
Yeah, man.
So say what?
A little bit.
A lot of things. It's unbelievable, you know, the beer weeks. Wasn't there just a Long Island beer week, Nico?
Yeah, in May.
And what was that like?
Well, actually, Ralph could speak about that. Ralph was definitely one of the leading participants in the events and such, and organization.
But in general, it was good.
It was great. You know, it really came together. We hosted an event where we took, like, the five best stouts of the country, which people know of. You know, we had Bourbon County Coffee. We had Parabola and Draft. We had... what else was on that was pretty major?
Some good stuff. And it was also Queens Beer Week, too, which is kind of amazing, all that was going on at once.
Yeah, everything's kind of just exploding into weeks.
That's awesome. So, you know, and talking about when we first started our show, you know, Greenport Harbor, you guys were just starting up, and now you've really expanded, and we want to talk a little bit about that in the show as well.
Cool.
So tell us what's going on, John. Tell us about the expansion and the new brewery and the restaurant.
We basically started 6 years ago this July. 2 years in, you know, we were in that little firehouse in Greenport. We were pretty much set on making small quantities of beer and really kind of keeping to, you know, making the beer the best it could be. And within 2 years, we knew we were going to run into trouble and need to find a new space. So we began that search, and it took a little longer than we thought. But we're there, and we're in, and it's given us the space to not only make more beer, but to start packaging and open a restaurant and just, you know, great piece of property on the North Fork. It's beautiful out there. It's as beautiful as Long Island gets, I think. So it is just a awesome, like, lucky thing that we're able to...
You know, I'll tell you, one of the gems of Greenport Harbor is that you got Sean McCain as your sales director.
Yeah.
Sean, we knew you from Victory
and
the Bronx, and you just busted up. I remember you telling me about how you got your cans into, like, wherever they play basketball now, and things.
Jimmy, I do bottles now, and that's another thing about the expansion that's really important, is that with this expansion, we put in a packaging line that we just launched on April 20th, 420, for those that are keeping number scores at home, where we've launched all of Long Island, New York City, and in the last 2 weeks, all of New York State and the two northern counties of Connecticut.
And you're going to taste us on some bottles tonight.
We are. Actually, in front of us, if everybody wants to grab a glass, we have our summer ale, which is a 5% golden ale with orange blossom honey, which tastes about as good as beer can taste on the summer day.
Awesome. And you got something else. You got a chef and a restaurant happening.
Brian Russell.
Yes, absolutely. How you doing? So, we're going to be building a restaurant right on the property there in Peconic. Everything is going to be very beer-focused. And I'm working with local farms.
Beyond that, though, but Brian not only has been working with local farms, Brian has been working in the brewery since last September. Like, he's cleaned as many and filled as many kegs as one could possibly do in a production brewery. He's done everything. He knows his shit. So what he's doing is essentially he's making a menu that's, instead of pairing, you know, food to beer. He's pairing, or I'm sorry, vice versa, right? I mean, you're pairing like the food to the beer, right?
I've been beer focused for most of my career. My previous gig was at La Birreria at Italy.
Can you pronounce that one more time? Because I can never.
La Birreria.
How do you say the word T H Y M E?
Time. Time. Yeah, so I opened up that restaurant, and of course, you know, they had a brewery over there and everything on the menu, you know, paired with the beers that were brewed. And so we are doing the exact same thing on premise.
So give us like three dishes that you're going to have on the menu.
Well, I can't tell you the dishes, but I will tell you that everything is going to be locally sourced from the North Fork of Long Island. And I am.
So rocks and sand and. You can't tell me. You can't even tell me one dish, Brian.
No, I'm not going to tell you.
You can't
hit him with one dish.
Come on,
give him one.
Give him one.
Get the people what they want, bro.
He started up a North Fork test kitchen because he has a little place.
Secret. The location is completely secret.
It's secret. The place. I won't give you an address, but he does have, he's got a hashtag North Fork Test Kitchen, where he's basically looking at like local farms, you know, building different dishes and. Working on exactly what is going
to
be.
So you can look at that. To expand on that, I am actively working with a couple farms on the North Fork. One is Biophilia in Jamesport, New York. I dedicate 4 to 8 hours a week working on that farm, getting in there. You know, we are going to be working with them in the future. Also, Browder's Birds and other farms, but we're going to participate with everybody. It's going to be a community.
He's still not saying what he's making.
Right. That's okay. Nico's going to spill the beans.
He's a politician. No. I won't do that. But when are you guys planning on opening it?
Summer. That would be spring of 2015. We've moved that to summer of 2015, Nico.
And for us, summer lasts all year long. All
right. Yeah. we're basically going to be breaking ground in the next, or not breaking ground because the footing's already poured. We
bought a stove.
Stove is purchased. So we're looking to kind of begin building that in the next week. So we're excited. It should go fast. All the plans are done. They look awesome. So.
No, I respect that you don't want to announce all your dishes. But.
No, absolutely not. But if you guys, if anybody listening wants to kind of get a glimpse of what's happening, what I'm doing out there, you could look at on Instagram at North Fork Test Kitchen. Everything on there from my secret laboratory.
Secret laboratory.
Is all locally sourced from the North Fork. Everything that I create. I even make sea salt from my backyard. I harvest the salt
from
the harbor.
What about some ingredients that you'll be using?
Like I said, all the salt that I will be using will come from the Peconic area, the North Fork, and all of the ingredients, you know, mostly
will you use any proteins?
Yeah, proteins and all. Proteins, vegetables, all that. You know,
he's not going to tell you, Jimmy. No, you could ask him as much
as
you want.
Well, you guys know. So you are active with the with our brewery. You know what we're doing. But, you know, all of our spent grain from brewing goes to feed the local animals at various farms on the North Fork. So
McCall's
and Cornell Cooperative, their mushroom farm and whatnot, and the local egg farm, North Fork Eggs. So, you know, a lot of animals are eating the spent grain that, you know.
And we'll kill them and serve them to you, fine people.
Correct. Those those animals will one day be on the plates in my restaurant on the property. So it's a beautiful thing. I love it.
All right, man. Well, John, you know, I met you when we first you started, and what's the journey been like for you? You know, from this little, you had your first website was like the floating empty keg in the water.
You know, Jimmy, you're the only one that liked that website. I get, like, everybody else at the brewery hated that original website. You are my kindred spirit who enjoyed the floating keg that all of a sudden the whole website would freeze and you'd have to wait to find out where the actual brewery was and the whole thing. But yeah, you know, 6 years, going on 6 years, it zipped by. And we, you know, feel really fortunate to be, you know, like swinging and doing what we're doing. And being in the new space is just the culmination of it. We look around still like a bunch of stupid, you know, idiot kids, like, how did this happen, you know? So we feel really, you know, thankful, really fortunate to be making beer on the North Fork, to be expanding, to bring food in, you know, which improves the beer experience. So it's been fucking awesome. You know,
it's
really going to
be great. I'm definitely going to come out there right beginning of summer and hang out.
Tall Ships, baby.
Have some fun. What's the Tall Ships? Tell us
we
about
have
that.
The Tall Ships are coming. We're sponsoring the Harmony?
Hermione in English, the Hermione.
Hermione.
And where is that going to be? In Greenport
it's
Harbor?
It's going to be in Greenport, yeah. It's naturally one of the largest, deepest natural harbors on the East Coast, and it's what General Lafayette gave to General Washington to help us in our pursuit of liberty.
So what did we got some other Long Island. Nico, and you guys, what do you think of this beer, the Summer Ale?
You know, I at BBD's, you know, I'm lucky enough to have a good relationship with DJ, the brewer there. The Summer Ale sells like crazy. He just did a Hop Nami on cask for us with Cascade Hops.
Did you bring a sample of that?
It's on cask. Impossible.
Ralph, you know, you're a secret guest tonight because you got a lot of information.
I know, I do.
I'm trying to hold back on everybody.
I'm letting everyone talk, man.
But, Nico, what do you think of the Summer Ale?
It's really
in
good.
Bottle.
It's a little, the honey gives it a little bitterness, and I have to give a shout-out to Scott, who did all the label work.
Yeah.
I just did a bunch of stories with him, kind of dissecting each of the labels, and they're great.
What's his full name, Nico?
Scott Bluedorn.
Yeah, they're really cool. And then, Sean, what's the next beer from Greenport Harbor that we should try?
The next beer we should try, I would say it would be the Harbor Ale, if we're going to walk up the progression that we have of hops. The Harbor Ale is our flagship pale ale, 5.3% American pale ale. 30% wheat malt is the real distinctive difference between a lot of American pale ales, dry hop, Cascades.
I love Ralph from BBD.
Yeah,
they pass the ball around instead of pouring for everybody. Just takes it and
he's
swigs
like, yep.
I like the style.
That's my guy over there.
He's like, I'll take it.
I'm a serious beer drinker.
And the label, actually, of the Harbor Ale, I know we're on radio, so it's hard to talk about exactly what it looks like, but I trust all of our listeners.
You can take a photo and tweet
looking,
at beer underscore sessions.
I will. But see, the beautiful thing is that Scott Bluedorn's original design that really we fell in love with as a brewery was this image, and it's an image of a sperm whale with a house growing off of the top of the whale, as you do. And we looked at that, and we had about 8, right, John, different designs that we were looking at, and we just...
Yeah, so basically, you know, I went to art school. Hello, anybody out there who made the same mistake?
I did.
And explaining that to your parents. So... It was the first time we were going to package. We waited 6 years. You know, we waited to build a brewery to be able to do it. We didn't want a contract brew out. Not that that's not fine for anybody else, but we kind of wanted to be in control of our beer and the beer going into bottles. So we waited. And once we got there, it was time for me to kind of work on the package design. And, you know, I have that background. And the cool thing is that the illustrator who's represented on the package is a surfer dude from Montauk, from the South Fork, and we found him literally a week before I presented 8 different versions of packaging. And
it was the 11th hour.
And I never wanted to have Greenport Harbor. Jimmy, you've been there. It's a cool town. It's legit. It's like there are fist fights in the middle of town. It's like it still preserves its like original fishing, like, you know, kind of history. And no doubt there's now a carousel and stuff like that. They're trying to make it a little bit more
badass carousel.
Tourist friendly, but it is still like legit. And I never wanted to do like artwork that was like that contrived nautical, you know, imagery that just you just feel like your stomach is rolling. I wanted stuff to look different and interesting, and this guy brought it together in a big way. So use your imagination out there and imagine.
It is cool. You guys could be taking
animal machines.
You could take photos and tag it at beer underscore sessions and show everybody if you want.
We'll do that.
Yeah, but nobody really is on Twitter anyway. So I don't know. I'm listening to the radio live. All right. So damn, this is a good beer. Harbor Ale.
Thank you.
Right?
It sounds like what? This is repressed fishermen who fight in the streets, right? And they drink this stuff.
It tastes like they're sweating.
It's fighting beer.
And also, when was this packaged? Like yesterday?
It's at the bottom of the 6-pack. I think it was actually packaged. If not yesterday, maybe Monday.
It was packaged yesterday.
Yesterday.
It was yesterday.
All right, yesterday.
I have physically gone to the brewery and seen the glue gun on the line.
I physically packaged it, so I'll tell you.
I've seen Joe and DJ gluing those boxes together.
So John, tell me about the development of your brewery. So DJ, you know, I know he worked, had a lot of brewing experience, and then in your little brewery in Greenport,
he was working. It's really, you know, the three of us, DJ, Rich Vandenberg, my best friend, and myself, who were the original three, and We brought Greg Dorosky, who's now at Threes Brewing. A shout out to Greg. He's making awesome beer in Brooklyn.
What's up, Greg?
Word up.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Greg.
Joel.
So he came in, you know, after that. And
hey, Greg.
We just kind of started moving down the line of moving Greenport out and you know, making beer and making awesome beer thanks to, you know, DJ Swanson led that charge and is... I'm going to say the word again. My mother, it's my mother's birthday today, so she's going to be horrified, but fucking awesome. He's an awesome brewer, and we're happy to have him, and it's the reason, really, we're where we are at today. So,
all right. Let's make a toast to DJ.
Absolutely.
DJ.
And
DJ.
We have a lot more to talk about today on Beer Sessions Radio. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Cheers.
All right.
DJ.
L. Knife & Son acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn, but has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Union Beer has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Kings County, Brooklyn, through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education on all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the 14 counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Check us out, heritageradionetwork.org. There's so many great shows. There's like two beer shows. There's a wine show. There's a spirit show. There's a cheese show. A lot of good stuff, issues and politics and school, and even a school lunch show, which is one of my favorites. So here we are, and I know we have listeners in England and Germany and Michigan and Florida, but also here in New York, and we're drinking, getting ready for the summer, because we're with Greenport Harbor Brewing out of North Fork, Long Island, and we also have a special guest who has a great BBD Eats as a beer bar restaurant in Rocky Point, Long Island. So this is the time of year we start thinking about what are we going to do this summer. And for me, with a new brewery at Greenport Harbor has in Peconic, New York, I could spend every weekend out there just hanging out.
And Jimmy, we hope that you do.
Well, you also, I know what Absolutely. You have. There's a jitney. There's a bus that comes from New York City. In a little over an hour and a half, you can be at the door of your brewery.
It's actually called the Greenport Harbor Brewing Stop.
And then you have this cool, the coolest thing that I've seen. It's a fire truck that you've turned into like a bar on wheels.
Yeah. So it's a fire truck from the East End, passed it by on the way to an account one day, and it was for sale. And we, you know, had no money at the time, which made sense, like, to buy a fire truck. So we offered them, I think, like, one-fifth of what they wanted, and somehow they were like, okay, we'll do that. So, yeah, we now have a fire truck that is loaded to pour beer and the sirens, and it pumps water and... does everything a fire truck should do. So
gets you drunk and hydrates you.
You just don't want this in front of your house if your house is on fire. You wouldn't be helped very. If you want a beer, then you'd be okay. But
so someone just poured for me a beer from a growler. It's really good.
So that was Canard Noir, which is our it's our take on a black saison.
Yeah, we got that on a draft right now.
It's awesome. Good, isn't it? I mean,
it's one of my favorites.
This beer, so DJ, his baby is Black Duck, our porter. It's an English style porter, arguably the best beer I've ever had, and I say that very loosely. I don't say that very loosely. It is a wonderful example of styling of that style of beer. Not many people make an English style porter. It's one of the reasons why when I met John and Rich, the first beer they gave me and DJ was at Barcade about 6 years ago. And they were, like, launching it, and I was working for Victory, and I was like, all right, show me your shit, man. What you got? What you got, man? What's good? And I was expecting them to whip out a double IPA, an Imperial Stout with cocoa nibs or something. And they're like, it's a 4.7% English style porter. And I went, really? This is it? This is what you're going to base it, my impression on? Because, you know, I worked for Victory, so I thought I was tough shit. I wasn't, by the way. And it was amazing. It was amazing. So anyway, this beer is a takeoff of Black Duck using our French Saison yeast with some additional specialty malts into it and a lot of love, a lot of care.
Like, it's a French name.
In Canard Noir means black duck.
Put a French name, and that means
it was actually
a different yeast.
It was brewed so that all of us could go to BCTC up in Omegang that first summer. And 6 years in, we've still not made it to BCTC.
We're in this year, though.
Sean's taking it to BCTC this year for the first time.
You need a Belgian-style beer, is that one?
You do need a Belgian-style beer to go to BCTC. And we brewed it that first year. It's like, oh, this is what we'll bring. And, of course, you know, the middle of the summer is, like, the craziest when you're making beer in the United States. And we were just so slammed that it was just... We agreed and then rescinded and for 5 years going, agreed, rescinded, and now we're definitely going. We're psyched to be there. It's awesome, you know, festival, awesome event, and Sean's going to bring
August,
it up.
Cooperstown, New York.
Yeah, man.
Hey, on that note, who likes to drink dark beer in the summer?
I do. Absolutely.
Definitely do.
So let's start with Brian. So do you think that there'll be any pairings with dark beer on your menu?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, all the beers. But Black Duck Porter is actually my favorite beer. I mean, I'm all about that. I drink it all summer long.
I'll get a refill.
Yeah.
And then, Ralph, so at your place, how many lines do you have at BBD Eats?
We have exactly 28 lines of CO2, 2 nitro, and 1 cast engine. That's direct draw.
And so, like, in the summer, approximately how many would be, like, dark or darker color?
You know, it's so funny. We have 7 lines dark right now because of the stout event we did. You know, I like to switch it up. In the summertime, we bust out all the stuff we've been aging just to mess with people and throw sours on there. And then, obviously, I'll have DJ from Greenport make me a cask with some, you know, something lighter. Greg from Threes will throw me some of his IPAs. So we have a good balance.
So to you, like with the Long Island Beer Week, it sounds like the Long Island beer scene has really come a long way.
Yeah, to get back to the Long Island Beer Week, when I was mentioning how I had all those badass stouts from all across the country, I took a bunch of stouts that were local. You know, I had a Triton from Greenport. I had a couple things local that I put up next to the beers that everyone travels all over to get and said, hey, try this Parabola, now try this Triton, you know, or try this... you know, to put them next to each other and to show how Long Island beer is just as good.
John, what's the Triton? I haven't had that.
So the Triton's our barley wine, and as soon as Ralph said that, I'm like, wow, where'd you get a Triton from? And of course, he's really good friends with DJ, our head brewer, so there you go. But we have our beer museum, and it's very thin right now, so there's like the beer bleeds out, you know, because we actually didn't brew Triton this past year. We brewed it the year before. So it is, it's a bit of like a hard one to get, and it's my wife's favorite beer, so, you know, she's not going to be happy listening to any of this, because she hasn't had it in
a while.
She's
a barley wine swimming woman.
Loves it. Yeah. She
did well, John.
She works with some British people, and when she says, oh, I love the barley wines, they say, oh, yeah, that's what the alcoholics love in Britain. So she's horrified by that, but that is her favorite beer.
You know what it was? I had a bunch of barley wines and stouts that were pretty killer age for 2 years. I called DJ personally and said, hey, man, you know, why don't you give me one of those Tritons to put next to this? Greenport can get some marketing out of it. And people came in, they were drinking the Triton, and it was so smooth. And it was just, you know, we dropped the CO2 level on it. We dropped the temperature up to like 39 degrees.
So do you have regulators, bro, for regulators for each tap?
What's that?
Do you have? It sounds like you have a really awesome draft system.
Yes, we actually have calibrated lines where...
So each one has its own...
Right, kind of like what Taurus does, but ours is direct draw. The line's only 3 feet long. And what we do is we calibrate each line with a different thickness of hose. So if it's a stout, if it's a cider, we go 3/16, so a little smaller. So, for example, for the Triton, we can drop 10 of our lines down to 38, 39 degrees.
I'm going there, Ralph.
Yeah.
I'm talking about you because you got a great story,
the beer's,
man.
Great. The food's phenomenal.
Yeah, so you were a chef.
Yeah.
At some really great places.
Yeah.
Still a chef.
But yeah, I'm still a chef.
Tell us a couple of places. We're going to build this guy up. A couple of places that you worked that people might know of.
I was at Jean George for like 3 years. I opened up Bradley Ogden's in Vegas. We actually won
a James Beard Award.
Best restaurant in the country, first for Las Vegas. That was in my prime 26-year-old age.
This was Ralph Perazzo. Everybody knows him. First time I met him. I don't know anything. Nico knows everybody.
Nico is like my personal PR agent. He loves promoting me.
You guys have been inviting
me. He's everybody's personal PR agent.
I like to hide, and he's like, dude, people need to know about you, man.
But you went deep. So we got two like really good chefs on the show tonight, which is cool.
It's pretty badass. I'm loving it.
Yeah, man. So you went deep. You went what? BBD. What does that mean?
You know, it stands for beers, burgers, desserts. It's three of the top things that I love. I worked for a lot of high-end restaurants, and I got tired of working with somebody else and said I want to make food that I would want to eat more than once a week. And, you know, the concept started out with we were drunk one night, and someone said, what's your favorite thing? I said, beers, burgers, desserts. Came out to BBD's. We made a logo, made a whole concept. And the food is not just burgers, but that gets people in. And then they come in, and then they have a craft beer experience. We have a lot of menu items that grab you right away, I think you would say, you know. But we also have burgers, which
brings Let me ask Brian, have you been to BBD Eats?
I have not, but you know, I'm planning with DJ really soon to go in there, so it's going to happen.
DJ's like he's like the norm.
He's a local.
He's like, he walks in, everyone's like, DJ!
Yeah. He tells me all the time, you know, he's in there quite often, and he tells me all the time, you know, how much fun he has, and it's only a matter of time.
There's one thing about DJ, he will always order, like, I'll have some funky beer on, I'm like, yo, you got to try this, you got to try that. Or, hey, they just sent me this. He will still go back to a Greenport beer.
Fuck yeah, you will.
Every single time.
Loyalist.
He'll try it.
GHBC.
But then he'll go back to a Greenport
beer. Does Greenport Harbor, do you guys have hats or any kind of merchandise?
We're pretty shallow when it comes to
T-shirts?
We're making beer right now. We just launched a packaging line. So all
you guys don't have any merchandise to put on the air for our...
It's online. Yeah, you can go to our website.
You want to do a giveaway?
To do a giveaway.
To someone who's listening right now?
Sure, all right.
What you got to give away?
Johnny, going
to
give away something?
Fire truck?
We got a fire truck and a t-shirt.
You don't have a hat or a t-shirt?
Sure.
You do?
Absolutely.
Okay, what do you want to give away on air right now?
I would love to give away a t-shirt, I guess.
Okay, so a Greenport Harbor t-shirt.
I got it. So we'll give away one Greenport Harbor t-shirt for the first person who can correctly spell John's last name.
Oh, that's big business.
Tag big beer business. Sessions in Greenport Harbor.
So you do @beer_sessions, and what's spell John Legie's last name?
That's yes. Right.
Yeah. What is it? @HarborBrew? Is that it?
Greenport Brew.
Yeah, Greenport Brew.
But whatever you do, we'll be watching.
John at Greenport Brew.
So they're getting excited. It's like, we're talking about. So, Ralph, you're like the new personality, man.
I guess so.
You're like one of these, like this Billy Durney from Hometown Barbecue. You remind me of him.
Really?
You're like a great accomplished chef, and you're always upbeat. And
thank you so much.
I'm really proud to meet you.
Kind of
man.
A badass?
Yeah, kind of a badass.
Thanks.
But so you got a great draft system. You got a great. What are like, I'll ask you, what are three items on your menu? That when Brian goes there with DJ, what should he order? Or are you going to make him off menu?
To be honest with you, the crispy beef heart that we do.
Ooh,
we like to do a lot of funky stuff where people normally wouldn't eat, but then they try it. And
how do you make a crispy beef heart?
We actually take beef hearts and we cure them, and then we actually confit them in aged beef fat. Dehydrate them, and then fry them really quick, and we toss them in this like very concentrated soy marinade.
Like beef fat
is happy with that.
It's tallow,
yeah,
right?
I'll take two.
Is tallow beef fat? Is that the same thing?
What we do is we take aged beef fat and we actually render it out, and then we actually strain it, clarify it, and that's like our.
But is tallow the same thing as beef fat?
Tallow, I would have to say no.
No.
Not my world. I'm a chef, unless you know, but something I don't know. I never heard of that.
Can you tallow the tallow?
I personally have.
But in the old days, like McDonald's fries, did they used to fry things in beef fat?
Lard. Lard is actually healthier for you than vegetable oil.
Absolutely.
I will go on radio and say that. Please look it up if you don't believe me.
Eat bacon every day.
So already you got me going now. See, the beef hearts and the beef fat. Okay, what's another dish that Chef Brian should try?
I would have to say we actually make homemade ramen. George Cow, who is actually coming to our beer dinner, which we'll talk about a little bit later.
Son Noodles.
He makes all the noodles for David Chang, all the people in the city.
George Cow is one of the most accomplished Asian food and drink guys. For years, he was a top sake rep.
Right.
He moved to Son Noodles. It's unbelievable.
And nobody knows him. And anyone that's doing big business now in the ramen world is because of George Cow. And I'm a huge supporter of his. And I had him actually come out. And I got some, actually got some yuzu beer from New Belgium. I had him send me just when he was coming because I knew he would appreciate that. And I served him my ramen because I wanted the approval because I wanted to serve ramen at BBD's. And for a white guy, white Italian guy from Long Island serving ramen doesn't really make sense, right? So he came out, had my ramen, and gave me the thumbs up and kind of teached me on how to fix things and make it right. So I would say the ramen's a big deal. We do it vegetarian also. We do a full vegan.
But you're not a white guy, Ralph. You're Italian.
It's true.
We're special.
I'm half Sicilian.
We're special for you. And then third dish, what should I have?
The steakhouse burger. You know, we have a wood-fired coal grill. My buddy made it for me custom. It's a Spanish style grill. We have it's brick encased, gets up to like 1300 degrees. So the steaks, the burgers, we brush them with a miso butter. It's pretty serious. Brioche bun, probably one of the best burgers I think in the country. I'm excited to be invited back to the Rachel Ray Burger Bash.
I gotta get out to Rocky Point.
Oh, yeah, we're killing it with that, dude. 70% of our sales.
Russell, can I come with you?
The grill, we need to do a field trip, man.
I think so.
The grill station goes down every night because we get killed on that, you know.
John Leegee. Who knows how to spell his last name?
Come on, you get a T-shirt.
Okay. And then BBD means BB Desserts.
Beers,
one dessert,
burgers,
one dessert for Brian and Sean because they're going the same night.
I would say the Cinnabon because we make it fresh in-house. It's fresh dough. We got some Saigon cinnamon there, pastry cream. We roll it up fresh. We proof it, bake it. Put a great cream cheese icing on it. Goes great with a porter or a stout.
For a porter.
Yeah.
Black Duck Porter
especially, you, 100%. We have my friend just gave me a beer right now. He's actually doing a coconut ginger porter that we have on draft. That goes really well with Cinnabon as well.
Wow. Fried beef hearts.
That's actually one of the past hors d'oeuvres for the Vermont beer dinner we're going to talk about soon.
Man.
And also the Vermont beer that you just passed, you supplanted.
That is my man Jamie.
Now I'm
taking
some Goza.
So good here, guys.
Dude.
All right, we're jumping ahead.
Sean. What are you going to say? We'll take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes.
We'll be back with a few minutes here at Beer Sessions Radio.
Woo! Right on.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. My good buddy, Sean McCain's back on the air.
Come on now, this is number six.
Victory Brewing to the Bronx Brewing. And now,
at home, Greenport Harbor Brewing
Company. Greenport Harbor, man. And John Leegee. John, don't tell anyone how to spell your last name, but...
Yeah, so it's L...
If you're driving in Long Island, you might start off on...
But don't forget, guys... I know how easy it is out on Long Island. You guys are chilling all the time. And
yeah, man.
It's a great lifestyle out there. But it's so cool that you guys have expanded your brewery.
Yep.
You're in Peconic. It's a great place to go to the tasting room. Your brewery's bigger.
Yep.
Are you actually making all your bottled beer in the new brewery?
We are. So we are, you know, we do. So the original brewery, 15-barrel system, we do our one-offs. We do more experimental stuff. There are three beers. In the spirit of Brian Russell, we will not say what those beers are presently, but we're brewing them for our anniversary party July 11th.
Yeah.
So it should be a big, big party. But yeah, basically what this brought us, this bigger space, brought us more production, brought us more control, brought us packaging. You know, we just didn't want to kind of hand it off to somebody else when we got into a space that let us do it. And it was the worst 2 years of my life to like talk to the banks and get everything done for this new space, because we thought like we were geniuses the first time and got the first brewery done. This next one just kicked our ass, and it was hard, but you know what? Anything hard kind of pays off, and it tastes better when you work hard. So we're happy to be in there now, and we're bringing bottles out for the first time.
Let me just mention one thing about the new facility, because like we reclaimed a firehouse, and as we've talked about our fire truck as well. But the new facility in Peconic was built in the 1920s, and it's was originally a Packard car dealership. So we've reclaimed the first ever gas station and car dealership that was on the North Fork of Long Island. And now the showroom shows off our four-vessel 30-barrel brew house. and you can see it when you're driving on the main road as you pass by. And if you want to know where you can have a tasty beverage next to it, you look no further than the Detail Garage. And should you want to spend a little more time in the sun looking through the vineyards and the vistas that surround you, we have an acre open.
Did you study
right
theater, Sean?
No,
you're an awesome speaker.
I might have a BFA. I don't know.
I'm just going to give you things to read on air. You're going to be reading in between. But let's jump. So we got Long Island, Greenport Harbor. I think I'm spending a lot of time out there this summer.
You better.
Why not? But we got the new thing in Rocky Point. So Ralph, when did you open BBD Eats?
I would say about a year and a half ago.
When did you open your last Vermont beer? Because I'm thirsty.
We've been drinking Galaxy.
Let's cut to the chase. You have been a huge supporter of craft beer and good food and a chef for many years.
Right.
So you got a dinner coming up next week, June 10th.
Yes.
And tell us a few. You got some special chefs and special breweries represented.
No, every year we do a charity craft dinner at BBD's. It's called CBD, which stands for charity beer dinner. So this year, I decided to do Vermont. One reason is because I spend a lot of time up there. I absolutely love it up there. I've made a tremendous amount of friends. The people of Vermont, the brewers of Vermont, are super humble, awesome people. Sean Hill gets his ass beat for being an asshole because he's got the number one brewery in the country. His name is Sean.
It's not fair, man.
He's a pure gentleman. I've walked into the brewery of Alchemist, and Jen and John opened the doors, gave me a tour, gave me Focal Banger before it was even put out. Chris from Citizen Cider has given me stuff that, he just made that week with his with the person that works with him, for Magic Hat, that came over, that's a chemist.
You're doing great stuff.
I mean, I could talk for
hours. But what's next week, June 10th?
So next week is a Vermont charity dinner that we're doing. We have 10 chefs, 9 different breweries from Vermont. It's pretty amazing because it's the first time on New York soil we'll have all these breweries in one seating, along with
the chefs. I know you're going to tell us a little bit afterwards how that you made that happen, but right now, two of your buddies from Vermont are on the air. So give us a quick intro, who's on.
So you have Chris from Citizen Cider, doing a great job up there in Vermont, making fresh cider from fresh apples.
We're drinking that right now. It's freaking delicious.
Delicious.
Hey, Chris, is that you?
How are you?
Good. And then who's the other person, Ralph?
Is it someone? The other person is Jamie. He's from Lost Nation. He does an amazing goza. He does an amazing beer, period.
We were drinking that.
We had the goza earlier.
Is it just Chris on the air right now?
Currently, Jamie is in traffic. I was going to do like a fake voice and try to beat Jamie.
Do it one time. Just one time.
In traffic in Vermont?
Yeah. So guys, since we have a call in, let's just slow down a minute so we can all hear. So Chris, just tell us about your cider company and the kind of stuff you're doing, because we want to hear about it.
Well, first of all, thanks so much for having us on, and it's been fun listening to the show so far, talking about some of my favorite people out there. George Cow, you guys mentioned earlier, I get the privilege of doing our cider with his course that night at BBD, so he's an old friend of mine. I used to be in the wine world and sold sake of George's back up here in Vermont, so the kind of worlds coming together.
Wait, so you're doing a special course, a pairing?
Jamie's walking in the door.
All right. I'll take it from here while Jamie's walking in. So
each course is a pairing.
A little bit about us. We're a craft cider company. We started in 2011. Very humble beginnings. We really had not a lot to start with, and cider really wasn't happening very much at that time. That's Jamie pulling a can out of a pack deck. I don't know if you can hear it. And that can. We've just put one foot in front of the next, and basically been building character and integrity for the last 5 years. We've grown quite a bit, and we're trying to lead the way with what craft cider is. Craft beer has, at this point, it's an evolving world. But there's kind of an understanding of kind of how it works and who's who, and even though there's more people coming on the scene all the time, there's an idea of like what's great beer. Cider is in a very different place in its history, and it has a really long, rich history, which I won't get into right now.
Chris,
and hey, before I get too far,
Chris, tell us about the course that you're doing at the dinner. What cider you're serving and what George Cow's making for food?
George Cow is making a duck dish. I don't have it right in front of me, so I don't want to skew any words. Ralph could probably read it to you. I could probably pull it up. But Ralph.
I think Ralph has it. So
I'm good. I got
Ralph's
it,
got it.
And we're going to serve our flagship cider. It's called the Unified Press, the first cider that we made. It's an off-dry cider that, you know, at the time when we started, there was really one big macro cider company in the world, you know, also from Vermont. And you know, they had one, like, a kind of style of cider that, you know, was what was the norm. And then there were some small craft cideries. And when we came up with this cider using local fruit, you know, has a, like, an off-dry palate, clean, crisp, really has a massive appeal, and it's really food-friendly. I mean, he could have paired it with, you know, all different types of foods, really. I mean, it goes great with pork. It goes great with duck. But really, it's a miracle. It goes with anything, guys.
Awesome, Chris. Ralph, what is it paired with?
So it's paired with a duck confit maize bin ramen, which is like a drier ramen, which actually we're confiting the legs at BBD's right now, and it's going to be tossed like a la minute, which means to order, during the dinner with shoyu tar and some flavoring.
What does that mean?
Ralph, how many chefs do you have and cooks?
About 10 right now. It's crazy.
It's a big place.
Yeah, no, it's everyone just came out of the woodwork, you know.
And then who's the next guest? Who's Jamie? Tell us about
Jamie. Jamie is from Lost Nation. I personally think I drink a lot of beer, obviously, and I travel a lot in Vermont. And I think all the breweries up there are amazing. But I really think Jamie and Alan, what they're doing there is they're making beers that are 4.5%, 5% that are seriously crushable, delicious beer. It's kind of cool. When I first met Jamie, I brought him some of our homemade kielbasa. And as soon as we walked in the door with the boys, we started drinking beer. Next thing you know, I'm cooking, and some other things kind of happen.
You're like the beer ambassador.
And we were just drinking beer after beer.
Yeah.
And it was just a party. You know, we were there for like 5 hours. We were late to go meet Sean Hill at Phil Farmstead.
And Jamie on the air now?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Yeah. Jamie, just say hi and tell us a little bit about your brewery quickly.
Yeah, so we started our brewery about 2 years ago. We pretty much started from nothing. Went out, wrote a business plan, found the financing. Our kind of idea was to do beers that people weren't doing, that hadn't been brought about yet or hadn't been noticed. Some off-color kind of things. Our flagship beer is a Goza.
We just cracked open a can right now, Jamie.
Yeah, it's a German wheat beer brewed with sea salt and coriander. It's slightly tart. Not a lot of people were doing that style at that point. So it was a little bit off the wall to try to just come out of the gate with that. And, we hit the ground running.
This particular Goza is going to be on cask, actually, on our cask engine at BBD's on June 10th.
And what are you pairing it with, Ralph?
That is going with, let me take a look here. What we did was I talked to all the chefs and told them the beer style we were doing and explained to them each individual person, like, what style of beer it was. And we went back and forth. That one is going with, let me see here.
Why don't you read the whole menu, man, because it sounds really good.
Yeah, let me go through the menu. So our past hors d'oeuvres are, you know, duck wings, crispy beef heart, pulled pork bao buns, bacon scallion pancakes, tuna tartare. And I actually do these vegan wings because, you know, craft beer world, there's a lot of vegan and vegetarians out there, so I cater to them. Jen and John from Alchemist insisted on a full can of Focal Banger to be passed around for the first course. So the rest of the dinner should be very interesting, considering giving an 8% beer 16 ounces. But this first course will be me, which is a lump crab meat with purple salsa feet, garlic pickles, homemade Russian dressings, poppy seed, chervil. That beer is going to be with a Saison that I actually brewed with Mikey from Otter Creek. We actually took some lemon basil from Copa Crest on the North Fork of Long Island, and DJ actually did me a favor and grabbed me some local hops, and I actually went to the brewery and we actually brewed a Saison together, which was super rad.
Great.
Very cool of Mikey. He's such a humble dude. Second course is going to be fried pig trotter with hot mustard and white asparagus and birch. Yes. We decided to do that with zero gravity.
Wait, what's the birch?
The Birch is actually a friend of mine, Douglas Rodriguez. He's from Boston. He was a chef at Clio. Super talented guy. He's super creative. Just kind of threw me out what he was doing. And I was like, cool, man. We're going to put it with the Breadhead IPA from Zero Gravity. It just makes sense. Birch, you know, Breadhead. So Course 3, which George Cao is making the ramen with Unified Press from Citizen Cider. Course 4 is Diver Scallops, a.k.a. Clam Chowder, Razor Clams, Crispy Bacon, which is going to be from Josh Eden from August in New York City. Super badass.
That chef. Sounds like a North, you know, Long Island dish.
It does. I'm actually getting them clams from the South Shore over there. We're going to try to go scoop some up before the dinner. Switchback is doing their extra parallel with that. Then I actually invited my friend Mark Nebus, who is out of Philadelphia. I spent a lot of time in Philly because beer scene there is pretty big. We're looking to do a BBDs down there also. So he's a vegetarian chef, so he's doing pan-roasted trumpets, some smoked tomato, cream corn, basil. Fiddlehead, their second fiddle double IPA, is actually going to be paired with that because of the vegetarian course. I don't know if you had Fiddlehead stuff. Matt, the brewer there, is doing some amazing stuff. I'm a huge fan of his Mastermind IPA. I've given that to Nico multiple times.
These are all Vermont breweries.
All Vermont. Guys. And then my man Chef Guy Rouge from Mirabelle. I'm sure you've heard about him. I paired him up with the guys from Lost Nation because he's doing a glazed pork belly to go with the goose. So I think that'd be great salt content and everything. Course 7 is my friend Ryan from New Jersey. He's doing a rabbit Menzaluna. Am I saying that correctly? Menzaluna, sour cherries, foie gras emulsion. And that's going to be with Hill Farmstead, but he sent us a Pilsner, which I think is super badass because Sean really doesn't send Pilsners down here to New York. And I think Pilsner is one of the hardest.
So how did you get all these? Some of these beers aren't usually in New York. So what did you do?
I made a phone call to the state liquor authority because we want to do everything legal. And I said I'm absolutely out of my mind, and I have a lot of friends in Vermont, and I want to promote them. I think they're all great people, and I love the people up there. And, you know, this year I decided to go in Vermont, and it took some time, but the SLA was super cool with it because it was for a charity.
When did you first approach the state liquor authority?
I would say probably about 6 months ago.
Well, I will say it's really progressive, and they're doing a great job.
You know, they are. They were nothing but helpful. They appreciate me reaching out and being honest and telling them what I wanted to do. And the bottom line is they made it very simple for me. They said, listen, you know, just fill up marketing permits. It's for a charity. It's great. You know, you've been open for 2 years. You know, you have a respected place. It doesn't seem to give any. There's no defaults on your license or anything like that. And just for you to call us and let us know about it, they helped out. So big ups to New York State Liquor Authority.
That's really nice to hear.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But that's good to know because you always wonder about that. And we've had other brewers that have wanted to come in for like a beer week or something.
Right.
So you're saying that in the future, that's the way to do it.
Right. So like my friends from New Belgium.
Be honest.
You know, Deschutes, you know, we're doing a metal fest at BBD's for a 2 year anniversary party.
There,
with a bunch of friends that are in bands. And I said, listen, I have another event coming up. How do I go about this? So they kind of gave me the ropes. If you remember correctly, Savor was in New York City probably 2013, I think it was, right? It's usually in D.C. That was 1 year that I was there. So, you know, New Belgium and all these other breweries that were outside.
A lot of special
beers. Right, there.
Floyd's, like your shirt says.
Exactly. So so Barnaby and all those guys, they all file for separate permits. And I just basically called the SLA and said, listen, I got a 90-seat restaurant. You know, all these guys in Vermont, some of them are launching in New York. They're great people. I love to get them the exposure. I love to have their beer in my restaurant. The chefs come on their own free time. You know, tax ID number, the whole deal, it's all legit. You know, what do I got to do to get this to happen? And they were just like, listen, just file this, and you're good. And it was really that simple. So now this has launched other possibilities for us to bring in outside breweries.
You know, it's going to make things like New York City Beer Week easier,
right.
Cider Week New York easier.
Right. I've even told Nico how I went about it because he was curious too, you know, how'd you pull this off? And I said, you know, anybody can do it. It's about putting in the legwork and time, which Chris will tell you on radio, I put a tremendous amount of time into making this happen.
Well, that's great.
I was going to say something without you, you know, plugging yourself there. Ralph has, I'm amazed at what a, you know, the amount of energy that Ralph has put into this whole thing. Is, you know, I've done a little bit to kind of connect with a few brewers up here, but I'm blown away. I hope that a lot of people come down to experience this because, I mean, the food lineup looks outstanding. And I know, you know, personally from drinking all these beers all the time and my cider, of course, you know, that we're doing some good beverages up here.
Chris, thanks,
Vermont.
Man.
So
thanks,
please,
buddy.
Please come down and check this out.
What are the dates, though?
Yeah, tell us. So, where's the website? How do you find out about
it? So it's www.eatbbds.com. Click on CBD.
Eatbbds.
Click on CBD, and you'll be able to see the menu.
Tell us the website one more time.
It's www.eatbbds.com.
Eatbbds?
Yep. Eatbbds.com.
Okay. So it's going to be a good thing. A lot of people go out to Long Island on the weekend from New York City.
Right.
It's worth going to. That's awesome. Anything else?
What are the
Nico?
Dates?
Next June, it's June 10th, next week. Nico, anything else going on, Long Island Beer? Anything you want to tell us about?
I want to actually shout out the app that I'm the editor of. We're releasing a map in the next few weeks with the 100 best bars and shops in New York City. So you can actually pre-order that at bluecrowmedia.com.
It's only $5,
and
right?
What's the app? What's the app?
Craft Beer New York. It's available on iPhone and Android.
Okay. And then you guys, John, it's so great to have you on, man. I'm so proud of your new place. Give one more shout out to your new brewery and your restaurant.
Do a shout out to DJ and Rich, who are back at the brewery working hard. I get to come in and eat pizza and talk to Jimmy.
All right. And Sean?
And because Rich is not here, I have to mention that on June 27th, the 28th, we will be hosting a Kansas City-sanctioned barbecue and blues festival. That's right, June 27th, the 28th.
And that's what I told you. I'm going to be out with you guys.
At the brewery. That's it.
I'm going to be there. You didn't
Saturday
mention
it, man.
Saturday
from 10 to 10, Sunday Come from on. 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Let's see you out there.
One more thing, Ralph.
So another big thing is I want to mention that Chris from Citizen Cider is distributed here in New York now through Serene Distributors. Lost Nation will be distributed here as well through Union. We're doing their launch party July 10th. I'm super excited to have 10 of their beers on Wild Draft System and some badass cask.
This is a great show, guys. Thank you so much. I'd like to thank our sponsors at Union Beer Distributors who have helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Thanks to everybody who's been on the show. Nico, Sean, Ralph, Chris, Jamie, and Brian. And this has been a great show on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Justin Kennedy and Maggie Seiden, and our engineer extraordinaire, Jack Inslee. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Yeah, whoa.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.